Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Ideas Have Consequences. Expanded edition by Richard M. Weaver is a landmark work of 20th century cultural criticism that argues intellectual shifts are not abstract academic events, but forces that reshape morality, politics, education, art, and everyday life. Weaver traces modern disorder to a long philosophical drift away from belief in objective truth and enduring standards. In his view, when societies treat universals such as justice, virtue, and human nature as mere labels rather than realities, they weaken the basis for responsible freedom and coherent public life. The expanded edition preserves the original book's central diagnosis while providing additional context for contemporary readers interested in the history of ideas and their practical effects. Weaver writes with the conviction that restoring cultural health requires more than policy reforms. It requires recovering a sound metaphysical and moral framework. Whether readers approach it as conservative thought, intellectual history, or a warning about cultural fragmentation, the book offers a rigorous argument that what people believe ultimately determines how they live. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the central claim, culture follows the ideas it accepts. Weaver's organizing premise is that the condition of a civilization is downstream from its guiding beliefs. He treats philosophy not as a specialist pastime, but as the deepest engine of social order, shaping what a people regard as real, good, and worthy. When a society embraces certain assumptions about truth and human nature, those assumptions quietly structure law, education, and personal conduct. Conversely, when a society absorbs skepticism about objective meaning, it will increasingly struggle to justify limits on appetite, power, or ideological coercion. The book invites readers to look beyond surface-level explanations for modern problems and ask what intellectual commitments made those problems plausible in the first place. Weaver argues that repeated cultural confusions are often symptoms of a prior metaphysical confusion, such as reducing moral judgments to preferences or treating language as a tool for manipulation rather than a medium for truth. This perspective reframes public debates. Instead of asking only what policies to adopt, Weaver pushes the question of what kind of person and what kind of reality our policies assume. The result is an analysis that connects moral psychology, civic order, and intellectual history into a single causal story about consequences. Secondly, nominalism and the loss of universals. A key theme in Ideas Have Consequences is Weaver's critique of nominalism, the view that universals are only names rather than real features of the world. He presents this shift as more than a medieval technical debate, arguing it undercuts confidence in objective standards. If justice, truth, and virtue are not real in any robust sense, public life becomes vulnerable to relativism and power struggles because arguments about the good can be dismissed as personal taste or group interest. Weaver links this intellectual posture to the erosion of moral imagination and the weakening of social authority that once restrained destructive impulses. In his account, once universals are treated as linguistic conveniences, societies drift toward viewing individuals as isolated wills, unbound by inherited obligations or metaphysical limits. That drift influences everything from legal reasoning to educational goals, turning formation of character into mere training for utility. Weaver's purpose is not to romanticize the past, but to show how metaphysical commitments shape what kinds of claims a culture can meaningfully make. Recovering a sense of real universals, he suggests, provides a foundation for standards that are not arbitrary and for freedoms that remain tethered to responsibility. Thirdly, modernity, materialism, and the breakdown of moral order. Weaver connects philosophical decline to a broader cultural turn toward materialism and immediate satisfaction. When higher ends are discounted, the practical sphere expands to fill the vacuum, and success becomes defined by measurable output, consumption, or social power. Weaver argues that this shift does not simply produce different lifestyles, it changes the moral vocabulary available to a people. Concepts like duty, honor, and restraint become harder to defend when the only commonly accepted goods are comfort and efficiency. He also warns that the worship of progress can mask a loss of purpose, encouraging societies to treat change itself as justification, rather than asking whether changes elevate human character. In this environment, institutions may increasingly rely on technique, bureaucracy, or propaganda because shared moral commitments are thin. Weaver's analysis highlights a paradox: as metaphysical confidence erodes, the promise of limitless freedom grows, yet individuals may become more vulnerable to manipulation by mass culture and centralized systems. By insisting that moral order depends on an intelligible hierarchy of goods, Weaver offers a framework for understanding why cultural fragmentation often accompanies technological or economic advance. He presses readers to consider what kinds of virtues must be cultivated if modern capabilities are to serve humane ends rather than dissolve them. Fourthly, language, rhetoric, and the health of public discourse. As a scholar of rhetoric, Weaver pays close attention to how language both reflects and shapes moral reality. He argues that when a culture loses belief in truth, rhetoric can degenerate into manipulation, turning public argument into techniques for producing assent rather than a search for what is right. In that context, slogans and euphemisms flourish because they offer the appearance of meaning without the discipline of definition. Weaver's concern is not merely stylistic, he sees corrupted language as a sign of corrupted thought. When words detach from stable reference, people become less able to reason together, and politics becomes more susceptible to emotional triggers and mass suggestion. Weaver also treats education in language and humane letters as essential for forming judgment, not just for communication. The ability to discriminate, to reason from principles, and to appreciate moral nuance depends on a cultivated vocabulary and habits of careful speech. This topic in the book encourages readers to examine their own environments, including media and institutions, for patterns that reward cleverness over truthfulness. Weaver's remedy leans toward restoring respect for meaning and for the ethical responsibilities of speaking, because a society that cannot speak honestly will struggle to act wisely. Lastly, restoration through moral imagination and rightly ordered freedom. Although Weaver is often read for diagnosis, he also gestures toward recovery. His vision emphasizes that true freedom is not the absence of restraint, but the ability to choose the good. That ability requires formation, including habits, traditions, and education that cultivate moral imagination. Weaver suggests that cultures renew themselves by returning to first principles, by honoring inherited wisdom where the lines with enduring standards, and by resisting the reduction of human life to economics or impulse. The ideal he points toward is an ordered liberty rooted in responsibility, where personal desires are measured against objective goods and communal obligations. This restoration is not presented as a quick political program, but as a long work of reorienting what people love and what they consider real. Weaver's perspective implies that reform must include households, schools, churches, and local communities, because character is formed through practices before it is expressed in policies. Readers are challenged to consider what they implicitly worship, what their institutions reward, and what moral language they can still speak with confidence. The book's enduring appeal lies in this combination of critique and constructive aspiration. It presses for a recovered sense of truth and virtue as the precondition for a stable, humane society. In conclusion, ideas have consequences. Expanded edition is best suited to readers who want to understand how deep intellectual assumptions shape everyday cultural assumptions shape everyday cultural outcomes. Students of political theory, history of ideas, rhetoric, theology, and conservative or traditionalist thought will find a framework for connecting metaphysics to institutions. It also speaks to general readers who sense social fragmentation and want an explanation that goes beyond news cycles and policy disputes. The book can benefit a reader's life by sharpening awareness of hidden premises. Weaver encourages you to examine how beliefs about truth, language, and human nature influence your choices, your standards, and what you tolerate in public discourse. Even when readers disagree with parts of his argument, the book trains a valuable habit, tracing effects back to first principles and testing whether a culture's preferred freedoms can survive without moral formation. Compared with many similar cultural critiques, Weaver's work is worth buying because it is concept-driven and historically minded rather than merely topical. He ties modern problems to a coherent philosophical narrative and integrates rhetoric, ethics, and social order in a compact, demanding argument. The expanded edition adds further usefulness by helping contemporary readers situate the original thesis within ongoing debates about education, meaning, and moral realism. If you would like to support Richard M. E. T. Weaver, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.